How's the practice going? Able to observe your own mind or not? Any comments or questions?
So I have a comment and a question together. So when I, basically, I always, when I try to do this practice, there are no thoughts whatsoever. But this time, I started generating thoughts intentionally. So in one of the first sessions, basically when I generate a thought, then I feel like there is another thought, but it's kind of in a way related. Let's say if I'm thinking of a monastery, then I'm going to think about a friend who I met in this monastery or this and that. So kind of they seem a bit suspicious in terms of that. Maybe they don't pop up just like that, and there is something that I'm basically planting them. And the other thing then... Now, recently, to the this coming, the closer sessions that we had, they're more diverse, like from here and there. But they really look like, I don't follow them whatsoever, and they look like objects. It's like the face of someone, or still water, or something that you can't even follow. You know, it's just like a picture. You just look at it, and then it goes away. And I just don't know what.
Of course, there are many different types of mental events, and some of them can be mental images. And I think it'll vary from one person to another, particularly what type of disposition you have. It may be that certain types of mental events are more prominent for you than for other people. So maybe mental images is something that really, because of the type of person you are, is something that really comes up a lot. Also, of course, certain mental events are probably easier to identify. Like some of the subjective events, like emotions, are a little bit more vague, and so they're not so clear to identify. But certainly mental images are very, very objective and very often can be very vivid and very clear. So as a beginner, often these sorts of mental events are more easy to clearly see, rather than some more subjective mental event or some obscure thought that's really not so clear. So that's okay. And the fact that they're quite disjointed is a fairly good sign that we're not really grasping so much onto thoughts. Because if we start grasping, then as you said, if you have a thought come up and you grasp onto it a bit, usually it'll provoke another thought, which provokes another one, and there seems to be some sort of thread to them.
Sometimes they appear like an object, let's say a friend, the face of it, and then it goes away, but as if I let it go in something like a light. And then, I don't know, I feel in my mind it's just like it fades away like this, and then either it becomes a dark place where I try to focus and then another one comes, but sometimes they feel like connected in a way that they're just objects, like not, I don't grasp into them at all, but they sometimes feel like this is the next one is provoked by this one, even though they don't really feel like that, but it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think also what we need to be aware of as a beginner is that we're not going to be able to observe them very well, and there's going to be grasping, and also not just that, but they'll often be very unclear and vague because the clarity is missing. The same as when you're focusing here, in the beginning stages, you may notice nothing or hardly anything, just some vague sensations. But if we remain patient, then things will become more and more clear. So not only will these mental events become more clear and more obvious to us, but we'll start to pick up more subtle mental events as well that now don't register because they're below the level of our awareness. So again, with a lot of this sort of things is be patient and just whatever appears, no matter how vague, just observe that arising and passing. If it's not very clear, okay, it's not very clear.
So even if for now I'm manipulating them a little bit because I feel like I'm somehow, I feel it's like this. It's not extremely obvious, but I have a feeling that because before I could never generate a thought, and now they started coming up, and it's like feels proud, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, again, of course, we have a very strong habit of always following our thoughts. So, of course, we need to expect that even when they're coming up, we're not going to be able to 100% just watch them arise and pass. There still will be some grasping, maybe a little bit less than before. I mean, maybe before we got totally caught up and carried away, now we sort of get half caught up and then we can release it a little bit. But that's already some progress. So, again, we just need to be patient.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yeah.
I think that it's difficult. The difficult for me is like, for me, is conceptualization. Yes, conceptualization. And especially when it's come to these emotions, more subjective.
It's more subjective.
More subjective things. So I think that. Figure out what is going on, I have to put the time, and then I'm starting the thinking. And
no, sorry, you lost me, so say again.
Like, if you say, like in the last session, that okay, we have to now check more of these subjective...
mental events.
Events, yes. Feelings, emotions, and so on.
Yeah.
So, I think that in these, it's, for me... It's difficult because it's much more difficult to, like you said, that they are awake, and then to really see what is going on.
Yeah.
I want to know what is this exactly? Is this something popping up or not? And then I'm already feeling it, kind of like when I'm trying to analyze it.
Oh,
then
okay.
It's going, I'm conceptualizing it.
Yeah,
and then I'm immediately, if you are conceptualizing, you are grasping.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, with these, whether they're objective or subjective, we're trying to use this bare attention to look at them directly. But as I've mentioned, as a beginner, a little bit of conceptualization can be helpful to avoid getting caught up. You know, this idea of noting or labeling. So when some mental event comes up, I mean, of course, normally we just identify and follow, but if we are trying to give it a name, conceptualizing a little bit, that can help to avoid getting completely caught up. So, of course, that is a little bit of commentary, but it could be useful in the beginning stages to start to get some space from these mental events so we don't always follow them. So, as a beginner, I wouldn't worry too much about a little bit of commentary in terms of trying to identify, give it a name. So that's okay.
A little bit.
But of course, we don't want it to turn into commentary on commentary on commentary, because then we just go round and round. And we don't, in this practice, we're not really analyzing either. We shouldn't be analyzing in terms of, you know, the qualities and so forth. That's a little bit more of a Vipassana practice. So for an analysis, we can leave that till we do Vipassana practice. Vipassana practice can involve analysis like, you know, what is the nature of this thought and where is it coming from, where is it going, and what characteristics does it have. And so this is all more of a Vipassana style practice. So here in the Shamatha practice, we shouldn't really go into too much of this analysis.
Somehow, then I think that like I have two choices. If I'm not going to label with this coming with the analyzing kind of, then it's just this kind of faint, vague feeling, and I see that okay, there is something coming, but I'm not interested in, and I don't even see that what it is actually. And especially difficult it's with this kind of emotions and desires, like that I feel frustrated, and then like I say that okay, this is frustration, but it's not going away, it's not like this kind of, it's just there.
Yeah, but even something like frustration, of course, if we're focusing on our lack of ability to focus, if that's what we're sort of really focusing on, then the frustration will probably stay around for some time. But if we actually, if the frustration comes up because we're not able to look, focus clearly, and then we immediately notice that frustration and we just look at that frustration, you'll find then there's nothing feeding the frustration anymore because we're not focusing on our lack of ability to focus anymore. That's the thing that's feeding the frustration. So there's no feeder anymore. So you'll find that if you just look directly at the frustration itself, it's less likely to hang around than if you keep sort of dwelling on the fact that, oh, I'm no good, I can't do this, I can't do this. Because then, of course, the frustration will stay there.
Well, I have an observation rather
than a question.
Sure. So I've been trying this practice for a couple of weeks, a few weeks now, and I noticed that as a beginner, when the mind is always imbalanced, either relaxed or excited, it's actually kind of better to have a bit of laxity rather than excitation, at least for me, because with the laxity, I noticed that it's easier to observe the thoughts because they actually arise and go kind of slowly, like it's described, and also they have this kind of dreamlike quality, that it's easier to not to grasp them, it's easier to understand that they kind of pop up out of nowhere or from some other place than the observer, so it's easier not to identify with them.
Sure.
That's when there is a bit of laxity. Of course, the trap is that then I space out,
yeah.
But still at least I'm able to kind of observe them, whereas when there's more sharp focus, then I'm doing exactly what Leslie was saying, that I'm so intent on like catching the thoughts that they are not coming. It's like a cat waiting for the mouse. It's tick-na-tan.
Exactly.
Or there are thoughts and then commentary and meta-commentary and commentary and commentary. So I think a bit of laxity might help at the very beginning of the practice to kind of get this this quality of the thoughts, this kind of smaller.
Yeah, of course, it's always this balancing act, you know, being too tight and being too loose, you know, and this is something that's going to come up this evening when we look at stage 5 and 6 in the shamatha chart, is that we're always trying to strike this balance between the two, and it's not easy, and so that we just do the best we can. So that's an interesting comment. Yes, thank you. Anything else? Yeah.
I'm having a problem with this, that I don't see myself even thinking. Like, I catch myself like with a delay, that I feel like I'm all the time kind of like running behind, and I kind of like notice that, oh, I've been thinking about this and this and this and this, but I don't see it as it's happening.
Right.
If I see it as happening and I put like a note on it, it kind of like feels like a closure, like maybe it goes away. But I feel like most of the time, I don't even see it when it's happening.
That's completely normal in the beginning stages of the practice. I mean, what's really normal for us is that we never see the thoughts, we just get caught up in them, and it's only like a lot time later when we reflect back and we go, oh yes, I was thinking about that before, wasn't I? So the first stage of progress is, as you said, is to notice that more quickly, that yes, just now previously there was this thought here, you know, maybe a few seconds ago that I had. And then slowly we'll start to notice it immediately when it's finished, and then we'll start to notice it as it's actually arising. So this is okay. This is normal.
And also I was wondering, what would be the good, like every once in a while I realize I'm like really tense, like I'm like my face and everything is like really tense. So what would be a good rhythm of kind of checking it?
Because
I don't see it unless I check it.
Sure. With this practice as well, what we can do in the beginning stages is we can anchor it in the breath. So particularly for a couple of reasons, and this is one reason, and another reason is if we're constantly getting caught up, then we can anchor it in the breath, meaning that even to the point where we're mainly focusing on the breath, and then a little bit on the side we're observing the mind, and then slowly we're more observing the mind, and in the background we're still sort of focusing a little bit on the breath. Mm-hmm. So we can do that. And then for this, then of course, if we're anchoring it a little bit in the breath, then when we're breathing out, we can really emphasize the relaxation, the relaxation, the relaxation. But yes, it's very important also in this practice to make sure it's nice and relaxed, because I think it was a comment over here is that we're so intent of not missing it. We're like super tight, you know. And then, as many people probably experience, when we're super tight, there seems to be nothing there because we're suffocating the mind with this tightness. So with this introspection then here, like the breath practice, it's also good occasionally as well to monitor the body. You know, is there a lot of tension around the eyes and the forehead? And if so, then relax, relax, relax. But if we're anchoring a little bit in the breath, then you can use the out-breath as an opportunity to really relax as well. So, yes, it's also very important, of course, in this practice to release that tension. And if we're really super tense and we can't release it, then temporarily shift back to focusing on the breath in the body for some minutes. You know, just go back to that and then relax, relax, relax. And then when you're really nice and relaxed, then go back to the practice. So this also we can do.
Okay. Yeah, I have two questions. One is my body is very much pain here in the shoulders.
In general or just in these practices?
Well, yesterday and today, and I tried to concentrate on relaxation, but it doesn't help. And I try many different ways to sit and also on a chair, but it doesn't help. And so one thing is, is it normal? So it's just because of the new way of sitting for that long time, so we have to go through and sometime it will be over. And the other thing is, when I do, so in the evening I do like visualization meditation, then I don't feel any pain, because I think I'm so absorbed in this. So is this normal, or can I use that for, because today in this practice I was very present, for me that was much, much more easier than with the breath.
Mm-hmm.
And always when I'm present, I'm always also present to my body and to the pain.
Sure.
And yeah, so I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it could be if we're not used to sitting in a certain posture, then there can be some tension in different places. But probably unless we're doing something a little bit strange with our shoulders or something, the tension here is probably symptomatic of being too tight in the focus. And so then we need to just really relax, 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 relax that. And if you can't release it like that, then maybe you can use the corpse posture, because there it's very much nice and relaxed, the body.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
So when you were saying to shift back for a moment, just if
you're too tight,
yes. Is it best to shift back to the body as object, or nostrils, or abdomen?
I think nostrils probably wouldn't be a good place to shift back to, because that's already quite. I mean, if you really want to relax, I would rather go to the abdomen or full body. Move your attention down, and generally into the body is very helpful. So just move down to either abdomen or full body and just work on that relaxation.
Yeah.
Anything else? Yeah.
I have a question about the pain. Mm-hmm. When we did the last session, and we had to switch the subjective.
Objective, yeah. Observed.
Observed.
Right.
So it's kind of confusing.
Yeah.
And when, for example, it comes to feeling pain, and I see it's pain, and my knee is also in pain, so this pain goes away, but this pain stays. So it's kind of how to deal with this kind of thing as well.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay. Well, first is that meditation where we divide it into subjective, objective, normally we wouldn't really do that. I only brought that in really because sometimes in this practice, The more objective mental events tend to be more obvious, the thoughts, memories, and so forth. But then the subjective ones are more difficult to notice, and so sometimes people don't even, I mean, maybe they have a lot of emotions present, but they don't notice it because they're so caught up in looking for thoughts and mental images and so forth. They don't notice, for example, the frustration coming up. So I only did that just so to become aware of the fact that there's these subjective mental events, not to forget about those when we're observing, that's all. So, yeah, I mean, it was a bit of an artificial divide there. And also, with the pain, of course, what's happening in the knee is just sensations, really. And what's happening, of course, is you're having these sensations, and then your mind is interpreting those and going, oh, pain, pain, pain. So that sort of experience of pain in the mind is what we're observing, but the actual physical sensations in the knee is not really something we're directly observing. I mean, they'll appear, but just let it go and just keep to the mind.
And the second question as well, when, for example, I catch myself like you two, in the middle of the thought, not here, when it rises, not here, or when I catch myself commenting, so is it better then to start over again, or then just to see where this comment goes?
Yeah, I mean, of course,
if in the beginning or to continue.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, then of course, if something's coming up and you're starting to comment, that's just another thought. Then look at the comment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No,
no. I mean, the fact that you've noticed that you're commenting, already you've got some space. The fact that you've noticed you're commenting means you're already looking at the commenting as an object. You're no longer caught up in the commenting. So that's good. Yeah, of course. But then of course you're caught up again. But if you just notice that you're commenting, then already you've got some space, because already you're noticing, commenting. So that's good.
I'd like to have your comments. Yesterday you said that one should choose the object in this meditation. But then I started to think that the breath meditation and this mind meditation, at least for me, they give value a different way.
Sure.
So, comment on it, because it's the first one is like helping me to improve my focus. And this somehow makes it very visible what's going on in my
sure.
area.
Sure, sure, sure.
It's quite interesting. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So,
yeah.
No, I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I think, like you said, each one has their own unique benefits, and we can do both practices. When we talk about picking an object, we're talking really about if we want to make a big commitment and we want to put a lot of effort into moving along the shamatha path, then we really need to, particularly if we do a retreat, then we really need to focus on one object. But if you, like, just have a daily practice and you maybe do the breath practice in the morning and then the mind practice in the evening, then that's fine. That's fine. But again, if you really then want to put a lot of emphasis into moving, then you'd probably need more than one or two sessions a day anyway.
Yeah.
So then you would do, you know, a number of sessions on the breath or a number of sessions on the mind or a retreat or something on a particular object. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to me that if there's a thought, as long as I'm not caught up in it and lost, but if I can see it and look at it, it just goes away.
Yeah.
But if there's an emotion or something of embryo of an emotion, because it's quite subtle, I kind of scan for them. I need to. I mean, it could be something, of course, coming up very obvious. But if I want to see what there is, then
there's always something, sometimes.
Sure.
There's some that are constantly.
Sure.
If I,
sure.
You know,
sure, sure.
Search and quite subtle, but
sure.
There.
Sure.
But to find it, to be become aware of it, I need to scan.
What do you mean by scan?
Well, I kind of go through the mind and see what there is.
Yeah. I think.
In any case.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that. But
sure.
It seems that that doesn't. If I. When I find that, it doesn't immediately disappear just because I kind of found it. So it seems to.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. I think when you mean scan, I think you mean to really look more attentively.
Yeah.
So if you want to use the word scan to look more attentively, that's fine. That just means more clarity. The more clarity, the more that we will pick up these more subtle mental events. So I think that's fine.
What I mean is I'm not just kind of sitting there waiting for it to appear in front of me.
Yeah.
I'm more...
Alert, attent.
Attent, or maybe deliberate.
Yeah, I think. I think this is just sharpening the focus, being more alert, more clear. So that's fine as long as we don't become tense, of course. And then, in terms of it not going away like a thought, of course, these emotions often are more sticky. Meaning we tend to grasp more onto them. It's more easy to not grasp onto the thoughts than the more subjective mental events. And also often these come up with a certain amount of energy to them. Whereas a lot of times the thoughts don't have much energy in them. So if we can just look at them, they'll just pop away. Whereas the maybe an emotion, particularly if we don't catch it at the subtle level, it's already been building up maybe for a few seconds or half a second. So already by the time we notice it, we've already been grasping onto it for a short time and it already has a sort of momentum to it. And then when we notice it, it will probably stick around a little bit longer because of that momentum as well. So that's okay. Yeah.
Maybe I'm mistaken there. But it sort of evolves and then disappears. Has some kind of
I mean, of course, different mental events have a different amount of force to them when they come up, and so some will be shorter or longer in duration. But also, of course, there are many degrees of grasping. So of course, the most heavy grasping would be that we're so caught up in it, we don't even notice it until later.
Absolutely.
So, and there will be
a very strong something.
And particularly with emotions, it's much easier to identify and grasp on those than some thought that doesn't have an emotional charge to it. So, of course, it'll take a bit more effort.
And I have one more.
Sure.
When thoughts come. But anyway, the thoughts that come, they work like that. If I see them, they disappear. Then if occasionally there's a more of an image, a memory, it kind of eases that then there are a few more, but they seem related.
So
and I think, you know, if there's some little thing in me, in my mind that's like going after some more, that would like there to be more images and memories coming up.
Particularly if it's some sort of interesting memory or some emotional charge to it, or because, and also maybe if it's a bit visual, then of course it could be more interesting than a bland thought. So therefore we tend to grasp onto it a little bit. But that's okay. I mean, that's normal. Yeah.
I guess I won't be confirmed in a way, but also to know if... is it a bad way sort of to go down? Bad, really the wrong route to go down, road to go down. If
Well, to notice it as well, to notice that that's happening is already a progress, that we're noticing that there is some grasping going on there. And then really to, I think as Alan Wallace mentioned in his book, earlier we talked about it, is that to not even prefer one thing over another, to not even prefer to have a still mind over a mind that has thoughts, and certainly not to prefer one thought over another. If we can really have this sort of no preference for any particular mental events, not even a preference for the mind to be still, then I think that can help, to have this sort of no preference for whatever's there. If it's nothing there, that's okay. Whatever's there, it's okay. Everything's okay. And then that can help. Because once we have certain preferences, either we want the mind to be still, or we prefer certain mental events, we prefer pleasant ones over unpleasant ones, then of course there will be some grasping. So if we can let go of those preferences and just be okay with whatever's there, then that can help.
I have one question. Is it grasping when there is coming some kind of emotion after a memory? And I didn't know that this emotion is related to this memory, or is this something what...
Well, just because an emotion follows a memory doesn't mean that there is some connection.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it becomes a bit obvious that this memory has provoked this emotion. Then, of course, there was a little bit of grasping onto the memory, which then provoked that emotion. So that can also be the case.
But can this be then also some kind of feeling when it's maybe something I didn't know before?
Yeah, I mean, of course. See, this is one of the great things about this practice. It's a very much healing practice. And part of the healing is not just the fact of not suppressing and acknowledging, but part of it is because as the stability and clarity improves, we get to see better how our mind is working, or actually how it's not working, how it's dysfunctional. So that can be very much a healing practice, because once we see how our mind is so dysfunctional in certain ways, it becomes hard to continue to engage in that dysfunctional way. Once we see it, it becomes obvious. So yes, this can be very much a healing practice. And we can get to really see the thought patterns in our mind. So this is, of course, the beginning of any healing, to understand where we're going wrong. You know, if we can see that, then we can do something about it. So yes, very much so.
And also then some emotions that maybe overwhelm us, or we see a pattern that we usually have to this kind of emotion. So then just...
These things become so more and more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more obvious they become, the easier it becomes for us to work with them and to deal with them. And sometimes it's just noticing how our mind is reacting in a very wrong way to a certain situation. Just seeing that, sometimes we go, that's crazy, you know. And then even that can help us to just stop doing that, because we can see it clearly that it's dysfunctional. So that, yes, it's true. Very helpful. Okay.
With focusing on the mind, you've emphasized that you have to keep your eyes open. What about the awareness of awareness? Is it okay to keep your eyes closed?
Yeah. With both of those, it's very much recommended with the eyes open, and we're going to talk, of course, about the awareness of awareness practice tomorrow. If you find that with either of those two practices, the eyes open, if we're not used to meditating with it, it can be very difficult as a beginner. And of course here we don't have very ideal conditions, because maybe there's people in front of you that are moving a little bit, and so your vision gets caught around and so forth. But of course this is something we can control a little bit at home. You know, we can make sure that when we don't have any movement in front of us, we can make sure, maybe even like a blank wall, a little bit the Zen approach. Also what I found in the beginning phases is to have the room very dim, very quite dark, So then you have your eyes open, but there's not really anything to see. So that can be also very helpful. I find that personally very helpful.
Usually,
so
usually I do meditate with eyes open, but it's just this environment. This is so
yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, of course, if you've got that, then maybe you'd like to try with them closed. If you've got the hay fever problem and it's aching eyes and so forth, then yes, you can, by all means, in these conditions, then you can maybe try these practices with the eyes closed. Sure. Okay. Let's do one more 24-minute session, settling the mind in its natural state before we go for dinner. With the back nice and straight, allow the entire body to become completely relaxed, completely at ease. With all the muscles in the eyes soft and in the face soft and relaxed. Letting go of any hopes or fears, worries or concerns about the past or the future. In particular, letting go of any expectations for this meditation. Simply allowing the mind to come to rest in the present moment. Through focusing on the sensations of the breath throughout the body. with your eyes at least partially open, vacantly resting your gaze in the space in front of you. Bring your attention to your own mind and observe your own mind and whatever is arising in the space of the mind. Observing mental events as they arise and pass, without grasping to them, without becoming distracted. release all appearances and simply allow the mind to come to rest. Simply resting in the experience of awareness itself. Simply be aware of being aware. Not paying attention to any appearance that arises. Simply resting in luminously clear awareness.